Been 25 years that since I was here as a member. Yeah, and during my college days at Multnomah is when I was here and working with the youth, working with the kids, and learned a lot of good lessons from being here. So I appreciate you just giving me the opportunity to come and preach, and let's go ahead and let's pray together. Let's ask God to help us, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. God, we just thank you for your word that you give to us, and we pray that you would just come and speak to us, God. Help us to hear from you this morning, and God, help us to have open ears and open hearts to respond to what your word says. So God, come and speak, and use this speaker, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I had a treasure map, big X marked right on top of there, and you knew that there was a treasure, it was guaranteed there was a treasure that was there, it was a long ways away, and of course, it would be dangerous. It'd be quite an adventure, but how many of you think, yeah, I'd be willing to go for that treasure, I could retire, I could be on my own, not have to worry about money anymore, I'd be good to go. How many of you might want to do that? A lot of you, when you think about that, you might think of pirates. Think, oh yeah, the pirate's treasure, right? They always went for the treasure. They always went for the biggest treasure they could find. Trying to find what they could, trying to find the gold, trying to find the jewels. But you know, there is a treasure that's even greater than a gold treasure or a silver treasure or jewels or anything like that. And the Bible talks about that treasure. In Psalm 119:72, it says, "The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." Wow, God's word is valuable. It's incredible what God's word can give to us. But let's be honest. If I had thousands of pieces of silver and gold on this side, and I had a Bible on this side, how many of you would actually choose the Bible? Honestly. Now, I've asked this with kids before, and kids are great. Kids are honest. One of them, he rose his hand, he said, "Yep, I would go and get the silver and gold, and I'd go buy myself a Bible." All right, okay, that makes sense, all right. But you get the point, what God's word is saying. Thousands of pieces of silver and gold. A lot of us, we think of that, we go, okay, I'd be set. My life would be, I'd be ready to go. But the book of your law is more precious to me than all that silver or gold. God's word is extremely valuable, very precious. I want to show you that a little bit more through the story of a king. It's a king that you may or may not have heard of. You probably heard the name Josiah. I'm not sure how many of you know about who Josiah is in the Bible. One of the things he's known for, of course, is being the youngest king in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn into 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. You're thinking, of course, a child evangelist is talking about a kid. You know, this is where it goes. I love working with kids. You know, that's where I'm comfortable. This is a fun part for me as well, preaching, but you know, kids is where I really feel comfortable and just enjoy working with them and seeing their expressions. But as we look at this, chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king." Can you imagine that? Think of how many of you have kids, grandkids that are that age. Anybody? Think about that now. What if they were the president of the United States? Now, be careful with what you say here. You know, I know you want to say something about, they probably do a better job, but let's not go there, okay? But, you know, think about it. 8 years old as a king. I mean, that's just crazy. An eight-year-old ruling. I'm sure that he had many advisors. At least I hope so. Boy, some of the choices that an eight-year-old makes would probably not be very kingly. But Josiah, the verse that I love is the second one there. It says, "He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left." Now, it didn't come from his dad, didn't come from his grandpa. His grandpa started when he was age 12 and ruled for quite a long time. I believe he ruled 55 years, but he did evil. He did incredible evil in the eyes of the Lord because he got the people to follow after idols. He put idols in the temple that was supposed to be used for God's worship. He had idols everywhere. The people had their own home idols. And so his grandfather, he didn't get it from him. His father, he was so evil that his servants ended up killing him because they wanted to get rid of him so badly. That's how bad he was. So it must have been, I would assume that's from his mother that he's making this choice, or maybe he saw what happened to his grandfather and father and thought, that's not where I want to go. I'm going to go the other way. But he chose to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So think about that. Some people use an excuse, don't they? Well, you know, it's where I come from. I can't follow the Lord. Look over my parents. That no excuse. Josiah, he made the choice. That's what we have to do as well. In fact, he began to live up to his choice in the 18th year of his reign. Now, he started doing this a little bit before that. As I looked this up and things and looking at historical documents, things, and, you know, look at the concordances and whatnot, and they're saying, okay, he probably started a little bit earlier, but in the 18th year, he really wanted to clean up the temple. He really wanted to see if he couldn't get the people to follow after God again instead of following after idols. So he gives this command to Shaphan, and he says, go to Hilkiah the high priest and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrusted to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. Basically, what he's asking them to do is go and clean up the temple area. It's been run down. It's been overtaken by idols and these Asherah poles and the Baals, and it's not the temple of God the way it's supposed to be. And so he gives this command to do that. As they're doing it, verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and the supervisors of the temple. Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. Here's the thing that I take from this. It's amazing to me. Where was the book of law the whole time? It was right there. It was in the temple. They could have read it at any time. At any time it was there, but they didn't know where it was. They didn't think to look for it. So the first application I have for you is, the Word of God. Now, back then it was probably harder for them to hear it. There wasn't as many copies as we have today. In your household, how many copies of the Word of God do you have? You know, there's probably at least 3 Bibles in your house. That's probably on average about how many families, households have, especially from a Christian family. I know in mine, there's probably at least 10, 15 Bibles at my house. The Word of God, do you know where your Word of God is? Hopefully you have it here. Number 2, during the week, do you spend time in God's Word? Are you spending time reading His Word? If you're writing down points, my first point would be for application, make God's Word a priority in your life. God's Word is valuable. The older I get, the more I see that I've got to spend time with God's Word. I've got to spend time every day in His Word. It is so valuable because this is where God has given us His instructions. Somebody has said, you know, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is what Jesus gave us. He gave us His Word. He gave us the Holy Spirit so we can know what God wants us to do, how He wants us to live, know what God is like. So is God's Word a priority in your life? Because honestly, life is busy, isn't it? Life is busy. We all have things that take up our time. But are we making God's Word a priority? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that the Word of God is God-breathed, and it's useful, profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. You can be fully equipped as you read God's Word. You can be ready for whatever the world, whatever Satan, whatever is coming at you, you could be ready to go, trained. Make God's Word a priority in your life. How do you do this? How can you make God's Word a priority? First of all, personal devotions. What do you do for personal devotions? Think about that. You know, some people, you guys are doing the read through the Bible, I see. And that's great. For you, that's wonderful. If you're working that's wonderful. Some people can do that, some people can't. For me, when I read through the Bible, it becomes too much, almost overwhelming to me. I can't do it. I've done it before, but it's not the most effective, I should say, in my life as far as speaking to me. So maybe that works for you, but maybe there's something else you do in personal devotions. Maybe you need a study guide to go along with you. Whatever works for you, do it. Whatever works for you, do it. But find something that's going to have you help you to do personal devotions every single day. It's funny, when I teach the kids, you know, I ask them, how often are you supposed to be in God's Word? And they know the answer. Every day. But then when we ask how many of you are doing that, then it, So you know the answer too. We're supposed to be in God's Word every day. So personal devotions. What about Bible studies? You have Bible studies that are available to you here at church or in people's homes. You have Bible studies. Are you attending a Bible study? Are you making that a priority? Sunday school. How many of you come to Sunday school so you can learn God's Word at Sunday school? Small group time. Worship service. When you're here at worship service, are you engaged? Are you listening and hearing what's being said, hearing what's being taught? The audio Bible. Some of you get long commutes. If you have a long commute, where you're going, you put the Bible in instead of music. You can listen to God's Word. I have a couple of friends, that's the way they do it because they just don't have time in the morning because they have to leave like 6 in the morning. They don't want to get up earlier than that. They're not morning people. And so they just put in God's Word as audio Bible and they get to hear it. How about podcasts? That's another way you can hear God's. People put them on podcasts and they can hear these preachers. Lots of them available out there on the internet to you. On your phone, there's this app called the YouVersion app. How many of you have heard of that one before? Okay, you've got the YouVersion app that's on there, and it has the Bible right on there and the version that you want. It has different plans that you can go through, different studies you can read through. It's right there. That's one that I've gotten involved with as well. There's all sorts of different ways to get into God's Word. But the question is, are you making it a priority? You notice whatever's important to you, that's the thing you do, isn't it? If it's not important to you, you won't do it. So is God's Word a priority in your life? Make it a priority. God's Word is very valuable, more precious than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. It's something that Josiah, he was finding out. So they let's go back to 2 Kings. And in verse 11, it says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest. And go on to 13. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written concerning us. His response was he ripped his robe. Now, they would do that when they were frustrated, when they just didn't know what to do. And he was hearing God's word, and he was hearing the book of the law. He was most likely hearing maybe the first five books, or maybe they just found Deuteronomy, which kind of sums up the Pentateuch. And as he's hearing it, he's hearing all these things that the people of Judah are not doing, that they're not obeying God's word. In fact, they've totally gone the other way. They're falling after idols, and they're disobeying God. And so he just rips his robe. He's like, oh, no, this is terrible. Then he wants to inquire of the Lord. He's like, what are we going to do? The people, they'd forgotten God, totally forgotten him, turned away from him, turned to idols. And they had forgotten that God's word was right there in the temple. So if you're writing another point now, my second point would be, what's keeping you from spending time in God's word? They had forgotten about God because they had totally turned a different way. They turned to idols, turned to other gods. And so they totally forgot about the God who had brought them out of Israel, or brought them out of Egypt and given them a land that was theirs, that he was their God. He claimed to be their God, and he said all these great things to them, that if they did this and this and this and this, that he would bless them, keep them in the land. But if they turned, then he would drive them out of the land, which is what he ended up doing later, didn't he? But what is keeping you from spending time in God's word? The first one, you know, make it a priority, but there might be some stuff that's keeping you from God's word. Let's think about that for a little bit. What are the idols that we have? Now, we don't usually have idols in our home like a statue, you know, something that's there that's going to keep our time, but there are other idols. Sports can be an idol. Football's almost over. I know Super Bowl's next week, I'm very sad. I love my football. But boy, you know, how much time do I spend on fantasy football and going through all that? I don't know if any of you have that problem. But basketball is coming up, and then baseball is coming up. There's all sorts of sports. It's on all the time. Sports could be an idol. What about your family? That one sounds funny, doesn't it? Wait, what? Your family. Can your family become an idol? It can be. Your family can become an idol if it becomes more important than God. If you're so worried about your family, so worried about taking care of them, not that we're not supposed to do that, not that sports is wrong, but anything that takes the place of God and spending time with Him becomes an idol. It can become cars. How many of you like working on cars? How many of you like fishing, hunting? Oh, let me see. What else do we have? All right, ladies, you got to help me out. My wife wasn't in town, so, you know, ladies, what comes up when you think of idols? Maybe it's just spending time with your friends. Maybe it's spending time, I don't know, what else? You tell me something. Give me something else. Ladies, what else might become an idol for you? What's that? I'm asking the ladies, not the gentlemen. Go ahead, come on. This is your chance. Speak out. What's that? Pinterest, there you go. Pinterest is something, yes, you can get involved with those crafts, those different things. Oh man, all the stuff that's on Pinterest, yeah, that's a dangerous place. You can get so involved in that. Boy, that's good. What else? Reading. Did somebody say reading? Reading is another thing, yes. Oh man, that could take a lot of time. Work. The American dream. Following after, going after money. And your work, or maybe you're a workaholic, that can become your idol. What else? Facebook. Social media, getting on there, connecting with friends, doing all that. Facebook is not a terrible thing unless you spend too much time and it takes the place of God. You know, for my own kids, yeah, boy, you know, they're computer games. My kids are 19, 17. Oh, I didn't have time to do that today. I'm like, wait, you spent 3 hours playing that video game? You didn't have time? I don't think that's true. Different things come up, but we have to evaluate. What is our priority? What is it that's keeping us from spending time with God? We say that we're busy. And yeah, we become busy, but what are we busy doing? That's what you have to evaluate and think about. What is it that's keeping us? The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, to guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. God wants us to guard our hearts, the real us, and not fill it with all those different things that are going to keep us away from God. So spending time in His Word, make it a priority. Get rid of the things that are keeping you from spending time in His Word. Get rid of those different things. If you don't get rid of them, they're going to be there. I have a young lady who I've been praying for. She was one of our former CYers. And at the age of 19, she made a choice to kind of turn to the world and follow after what the world wanted. And she's now gotten involved with drinking a little bit. And she's been telling me about this. And she said, okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to work really hard. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. 2 weeks later, she goes back to it. If you don't get rid of it, it's going to keep coming back. Unless you totally cut it out, cut it off, maybe for a time. For my dad, that became something he really enjoys. He enjoys playing pool. He's really good at playing pool. He was a longshoreman as his job, and afterwards he would go, before he was a Christian, go to the taverns, he'd play pool. He was really good. He had a whole wall full of trophies. He even went to Las Vegas one time, got in the pool tournament. Boy, he was that close to earning the money. It's like, wow. But for a time, God had to take that out of his life because it was too important. After he became a Christian, God took pool away from him for about 2-3 years. He didn't do pool because of the environment that it took him to. God has turned that around and changed that. He now goes to the pool hall, the taverns, to be a witness to those guys. Okay? So he's able to use what he loves to do for God. But you might have to do the same idea. It might be the same for you. You might have to cut something off. You might have to take away something for a time so that God can take that out of your life so that he becomes the priority. That's what God wants us to do. Well, after Josiah kind of sends Shaphan and sends these other guys to go and inquire of the Lord, what do you want us to do? He gets his answer. They go to a... They go to a prophetess named Huldah, and she tells them, you know, this is what the Lord God says. Tell the man who sent you, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in this book the king of Judah has read. So it's all going to happen. They've already gone too far. They've turned against me. They've turned away from me. But then, in verse 18, tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. So he took her answer back to the king. Because of his response, because he ripped his robes, and it says that he wept in the Lord's presence. He was crying out to God for his people, for what this disaster he heard. It's like, this is terrible. And because he did that, God's response was, okay, this is still going to happen. I'm still going to punish the people, but not during your lifetime, not during your reign. Chapter 23. Because he hears that from Huldah, because he hears this from the Lord, this is what he chooses to do. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest, from the babies all the way up to the elderly. Everybody was there. And he says, he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and with all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in the book. He wanted the people to hear from God, so he read to them from God's word. Not only that, then he made a new covenant. He renewed his covenant to follow these decrees. He was going to live for the Lord the rest of his life. He was going to do the best he could to follow after God. Notice their response. At the end of verse 3, it says, then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. They also made the choice to follow after their king and to follow the Lord's rules, regulations, decrees, to do what the book of the law said. They were choosing to follow after God's word. They heard it. They saw the commitment of their king, and they said, yeah, we're going to do that too. It's amazing the effect that God's word had on the people. They had it there the whole time. All they had to do was read it, see what it says, and it could change their hearts. But they forgot about it. Now that Josiah heard it, now he was renewing this covenant, the people, they were doing the same thing. Now, it was going to be different. The rest of chapter 23, a lot of it talks about that he obeyed, he followed through. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest, the priest next in rank, and doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry host. He burned them outside of Jerusalem. So he's getting rid of all the idols. He's getting rid of the priest, the false priest. He's getting rid of all of them. He's getting rid of them from the east to the west, to the south, to the north. He traveled to get rid of all those things in the different temples, to get rid of the people. They got rid of their household gods. Because they heard God's word, they got rid of them. So Josiah, he renewed his covenant to the Lord. He says, I'm going to do this with all my heart and with all my soul. And maybe this morning you need to do the same thing. What is your response when you hear God's word? As you hear it on a worship service on Sunday, as you hear it at Bible study, as you read it yourself in personal devotions, what is your response? What are you going to do with God's word? It's not enough just to have knowledge. We have to have it from here, from our heart, go from there to do something with it. Whether it's praise and thanks to God, whether it's obedience to what he's told us to do, whatever it is, God wants us to respond to his word. In Isaiah, it talks about that his word will not go out and return void. His word is powerful. His word is useful for that teaching, for that training, to be fully equipped. As you think about it, think about what you can do. Maybe you want to this morning renew your commitment to the Lord, to say, God, I want to read your word every day. I want to do the best I can with all my heart, with all my soul, to follow after you, to do what your word says. Maybe you need to, maybe you're already reading God's word, but maybe you need to take the next step and say, God, I want to obey what you say. I want to obey what your word says to me. Maybe God's asking you to do something. Maybe he's saying you need to witness to that neighbor. You need to witness to that coworker. You need to witness to that person. But you're like, oh, God, I can't do that. I don't know what to say. He will give you the words. Amen. Remember, he is there with you. Amen. So he will help you to obey his word. The other thing I've been learning is the older I get, the more I tend to learn. And that's the thing, that God's word is so valuable that you can never know it all. And as I read his word, it's only by his grace that we're saved. And it's only by his grace that we are able to live and serve him. Live in his grace. Obey him. The next one is be all in. He gave all his heart with all his soul. Don't go halfway. So, you know, I'll obey this, but no, I'm gonna hold back on this. Be all in with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Just be all in with him. We talk to the kids about this and tell them to give themselves over to God. At the age of 13, I got a call from the Lord that I knew I wanted to be in full-time ministry at the age of 13. God can call missionaries. Missionaries he calls. He calls them at age 9, age 10. We talk with the kids, but what about you? You can be all in too. You might say, oh, no, I can't do that. I've done my time. I've served the Lord. I'm too old. I can't do that. It never says too old in the Bible. Never says that. Never says, there's not a word about retirement in here either, by the way. Just so you know. You may retire from your job, that's fine, but you cannot retire from the Lord. You got to keep wanting to serve him, wanting to follow him. Think about it when Jesus was born. Who was there? Anna was there, and I can't remember the gentleman's name. Okay, Simeon. Yeah, they were there, and they were there waiting for the Lord. He promised that they would not see death until they got to see the Savior. They were older. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? He was 100. Sarah was 90. They had faith in God that he could do what he promised to do. Do you have faith that God, when you read his word and he says, I want you to do this, that he is promising that he's going to be with you and he's going to help you to do it? God never asks us to do something that he won't give us the power and the strength and the ability to do. Amen. You've got to go follow through. Be all in. The other one I love there is that his leadership. He led, and when he led, the people followed. Now, you're leading somebody. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's people at work. Maybe it's people in your home that you live with. Maybe it's grandkids. Whoever it is that you are leading, you're leading somebody. There's got to be somebody that's following you. Be the example for them to follow. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He wants you to follow him and bring others along. One of his commands he tells us to do is make disciples. Make disciples. Well, then that means you should have followers. You should have people. Not that they're following you, but they're following Jesus, because that's where you're pointing them to. You're pointing them to Jesus. You're saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Let me show you how to do this. And you're making disciples. when you hear God's word, how do you respond? I gave a smaller version of his teaching to the youth at my church. So we were talking about heroes of the Bible. I wanted to bring up a couple of them they hadn't heard before. Josiah, they hadn't heard of. When I asked this question, how do you respond to God's word? I said, you know, maybe when you're sitting at church on a Sunday morning, you're bored. And I saw a couple of the heads nodding from the youth. They're like, oh, man, yeah. But your choice to respond. Are you engaged? Are you fully into it? No matter what's being taught, it's still God's word. And how are you responding to it? Notice what happened with Josiah. Go all the way to verse 25 in chapter 23. It says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. That's quite a statement that's made there. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. Wow, that's huge. Think of all those kings. Some of them are really great kings that we know about. And Josiah, that young man, he turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength, all his soul. And he tried to obey the word of the Lord. What about you? This morning, what will you do after hearing God's word? A lot of times we come to church on a Sunday, we hear it, we go, man, that was a great message, and we go home and we totally forget about it. That was a great message, but oh well. I'm not going to let you get away with that this morning. I have asked for some cards to be passed out. And on this card, I want you to put down one thing that you're committing to do. Go ahead and pass those out. Yep, go for it. Go ahead and pass those out. Everybody's going to get one, and I want you to write down one thing that you're committing to do. Maybe your commitment is that you want to spend time in God's word every single day. That you've lost that. It's hard to do. I'll tell you what, you know, this is my commitment. I try and be God's word every day. Do I make it every day? I've missed a couple days. Boy, when I miss that day, man, do I not have a great day. And man, do I want to get back in God's word the next day. Maybe that's your commitment. Maybe your commitment is to get rid of something that's keeping you from God's word. Maybe there is an idol in your life that you know you have to get rid of for a time, and you're committing yourself to it. Write that down. Maybe there's just a renewing of a commitment, your life to the Lord today. You just want to say, I want to give my life to God. I want to do what he wants me to do. I'm going to obey him. Or maybe you're going to put, I'm going to be all in for God. No more going halfway. Whatever it is, I want you to write down, go ahead and write down right now what your commitment is to God. What is it you're committing to do to him? Don't do it lightly. Don't just go, okay, I'm going to write this down. But I want you to write it down. The second thing I want you to write down is who is going to keep you accountable to do it. Because if nobody's keeping you accountable, you're not going to do it. But if you show this to somebody and you say, I'd like you to keep me accountable to this, they're going to ask you. And then you're going to have to go, oh, man. So be accountable to somebody. So write down the name of that person that you're going to say, I'm going to show this card to them, and I'm going to ask them to help me to be accountable to this commitment. Josiah, he made a commitment. He renewed his commitment to the Lord, and he did it in front of all the people. Boy, if he stepped out, he had lots of people to keep him accountable, didn't he? But remember what was said about him. Huge, high praise from the Lord to say that no king before or after him turned their heart to the Lord the way he did. That's what God's word can do. That's the value of God's word. It is a huge treasure that's worth more than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. But what will you do with God's word? It's still a choice that you have to make. How will you respond? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your word that you've given us. Thank you, you've given us the Holy Spirit to help us to understand.